My name is Nadia, and I am 27 years old. I have 2 university degrees and I'm doing well in my job. I'm working all year round, so when vacations come, I immediately go to the mountains to rest. My friends sometimes tell me to go to the beach, but I tell them that the sand and the sun are not my things. None of this is true, but I never dared tell them what was really going on. Every time I think of the beach, horrible images invade my thoughts. Memories of a terrifying night when, just because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, I almost didn't survive to remember it. I was only 13 years old, and on vacation with my father. He and my mom were separated, so I had to divide my time to be with both of them. I had just come from a mini vacation with my mom, and now I had to spend a few days at my dad's beach house. The first few days went by fast. I was distracted by meeting people and going out to eat in the evenings. So the vacation was going by fast. Everything changed one Tuesday night. That day was usually the day that the beaches were less visited. I was returning from an evening dinner with my father, and we decided to walk along the beach. This was usually not recommended, as the beach can be very unsafe in the dark. But my father, who had been coming to this house since his childhood, assured me that nothing would happen to us. The night was coming along well. The darkness did not scare me, and seeing the beach in the dark and silence was a new experience that made me feel very good. I got a little ahead of my dad and ran along the beach until some lights caught my attention. There were a bunch of men in white robes in front of me. Some of them were holding candle lanterns, while others were together carrying a large bundle. It didn't take me more than a few seconds to realize what was inside that bundle. It was a human body. I couldn't see the human form, but the size was that of an adult, and I could see the blood dripping from the black bag. My first reaction was to run crying. But before I could do anything, my father was already looking at the same scene as me, except that he was not hiding. As soon as he saw the image, fear took hold of my father. He gave a muffled scream and ran away without looking in my direction. The hooded men turned around and saw him. Some came closer to where I was, still without seeing me. But as soon as they could see my father's back, they seemed to be satisfied, so they went back to where they were and continued on their way. Although I was scared too, I managed to keep my composure and stay calm enough to slip away without making any noise. When I arrived at the beach house, he was already packing all his things in desperation, immediately asking me to do the same. I went to my room to put all of my stuff away. Luckily, I brought very little luggage, so I was done pretty quickly. I heard a strange noise coming from outside, so I left my bags under the bed and peeked out the window. On the other side, shadows moved quickly and stealthily behind my house. Suddenly, I felt a loud knock at the entrance of our house, and I could barely react, as a bunch of footsteps invaded our vacation home. As soon as I heard the noises, I ducked under my bed, with a knife to protect myself, and put the suitcase in front of me, so they wouldn't see me. Behind it, I could see how a pile of boots covered with the same white tunic I had seen on the beach surrounded the house. Some of them came into my room, but left without much interest when they saw it empty. I kept taking deep breaths and praying that my father might escape. But as if in response, I heard his screams coming from his room. And within seconds, noises of him being dragged through the house. The men in white dragged him into the dining room. And for the first time, I could see him from under the bed. One of them approached him and told him he had interrupted a sacrifice that they were making to appease the wrath of the sea, which was adamant about offerings. My father tearfully asked for forgiveness, but none of these people were the least bit interested in listening to him. While some of them held him by his arms and legs on the dining room floor, the one who spoke approached him with a knife and drew some symbols on his belly with a pen. They were symbols I had never seen before, but that was the least of our worries. The man threw the pen to the side of the house, and another one of the hooded men carefully picked it up and put it away. The man who was talking and drawing was clearly the leader. The leader then began to rub the knife across the patterns on my father's body, marking him while ignoring his screams. Suddenly, he tightened his grip on the knife and cut open his stomach. He was still alive, so in complete panic, I could see not only the knife being plunged into him, but all his guts being pulled out and stuffed into black bags. His screams of pain choked as he lost consciousness. These men did not care whether he was alive or not. They simply removed his organs with precision, very violently, and quickly, but with surgical precision. You could tell that they had already done it several times and had practice, not to mention that they were completely desensitized to human life. After they finished, they simply gathered up all their bags and left, while others stayed behind to clean up any traces of blood or anything that might incapacitate them. After several minutes, the last men were leaving. I didn't know how to react. I had witnessed everything that had happened to my father, and somehow, they hadn't detected me. The men had already left, so I threw the suitcase and prepared to leave. But the footsteps continued, and a man came rushing into my room after hearing the noise I made. By the time he came in, I had already hidden again, but he knew something was wrong. This person ran my suitcase and saw me. He tried to reach for me with his hands as I went backwards, and after a few seconds, he managed to grab my leg. When he pulled me back, I used the knife I kept with me, and with my eyes closed, I stabbed him in the eyes. Instead of running, I pressed the knife into his face and made sure it went in as far as possible. When I was sure he was dead, I ran out of the house with my cell phone and called my mom, who thought everything I told her was a lie. After coming to look for me and calling the police, they found no trace of my father, but they knew who the culprits were. As their leader had said, the murderers were part of a clan that was dedicated to making sacrifices for the sea. They could never find them, as they always performed their rituals at a random place and time. After that, I went back to my mother and decided to never go to the beach again, even if I went to one far away. I would feel that those people would be there, looking for me to finish their work.
Hi. My name's John. I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. My entire life, all I knew was traffic, skyscrapers, and snowy winters. By the time I finished high school, I was ready for a change. I decided to take a year to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, a year to see and experience something different. Turned out, a summer was all I needed. After my graduation, I packed my belongings and moved to the most different place I could imagine. If snow and traffic was all I ever knew, maybe sand and ocean waves would be an appropriate change. I moved to a secluded beach town in the outskirts of Honolulu. My childhood years swimming at the YMCA paid off when I was able to land a job as a lifeguard. Most summer visitors looking for work preferred the busier and more lucrative beaches of Honolulu, always bustling with rich tourists and extravagant lifestyles. That's not what I wanted. I wanted to be off the map. And that's what I found myself in my little corner of Hawaii. Most of my days were spent sitting on a high lifeguard chair, reading a book, and keeping an eye for any distress the waves might cause. I quickly made acquaintances of most of the residents of the beach. It was a close-knit community, and everyone hurried to meet the new outsider from Chicago, me. By the second week, I was welcomed as one of their own, and the novelty of my arrival had passed. One evening, as the beach became deserted, I came down from my high chair, ready to call it a day, when I noticed something, rather someone, by the seashore. As I approached, I began to make out what looked like a man, crouched down, picking something off the ground. His back was turned to me, and his grunt and murmurs elevated above the drowning sound of waves crashing down. Hello? I questioned. The man, still crouched, turned to face me. What stared at me looked more like a troll than a human. His face was lacerated in different places. His hair was long but patchy. His eyes bulged from its sockets, on a face with thin, tight, translucent skin. He wore a long coat full of holes and patches, similarly torn patches and thick military boots. The contrast of his attire with the relaxing beach setting might have been comical if it weren't for one thing. His mouth dripped blood and small pieces of flesh. In his hand, a long fish gasped for air and squirmed around his tight grip. Blood streamed from a mouth-sized hole on the fish's back. Next to the man was a pile of fish carcasses. The man began to rise, but by then, I was sprinting away from the moonlit oceanside. I heard nonsensical grunts, but they quickly faded as I distanced myself. The troll man wasn't spotted for the next few weeks. Around town, I asked vague questions about a mysterious man that may live on the beach, omitting the flesh-eating details in an attempt to not sound crazy to my new friends. Nobody seemed familiar with this mystery man, and I didn't press any further. As time passed, I began feeling guilty for my harsh judgment of this man. Perhaps he was a homeless man, hungry, and resorting to raw fish for survival. After all, I like sushi. And here I was, thinking of him as a troll. One evening, I exited the beach, leaving the sand under my feet for the pavement, when a noise caused me to look back. Against the tapestry that was the roaring ocean and starry night sky, I saw the silhouette of a man, wild hair up in the air, creepy along the shore. A short distance ahead of him, a colony of seagulls congregated around food remains. It had to be the homeless man, I thought. I made my way back in his direction quietly. As I approached, his creep towards the gulls accelerated. Before long, he was in a full-out sprint towards them. A few gulls took flight at the approaching threat. The majority stayed, indulging in their dinner. I raised a hand about to greet the sprinting man when he launched himself towards the remaining gulls. His body, parallel to the ground, landed in the center of the group, causing the remaining stragglers to clear out. The loud thud emitted on the soft sand was concerning. "Are you okay?" I called out. Oblivious to me, the man seemed occupied with something. Horror filled me as I approached and visibility improved. The man wrestled with an enormous seagull that squawked in panic. He held it under the weight of his body as feathers rose through flapping wings seeking escape. By then, a few other gulls had floated above the man, pecking him, attempting to aid their captive brethren. The man grunted and yelped, swatting away the flying gulls, and brought down his head. He sunk his teeth to the neck of the captive seagull. The flapping of wings slowed, replaced by a steady flow of blood shooting from the bird's neck. The wings dropped down, void of his life, and the man sunk his teeth down again, this time ripping a large chunk of flesh. The crunching of bone crackled over the crashing waves. He lowered his head and directed the stream of blood into his mouth. His face turned to my direction, continuing to suck wildly on the bird's neck. "Need something bigger. More blood," he whispered roughly, blood dripping from his mouth. With similar vigor at his sprint towards the gulls, he began charging in my direction. I ran and ran and ran. Sand lifted wildly behind me with every stride I took, obscuring the sight of the bloody man chasing me. The sand under my feet was replaced by pavement soon, and I continued to run. I don't know when he stopped following me, but I took no chances. That night, I packed my things, called my boss, and gave him my resignation. That morning, I was on a flight back to Chicago. A few weeks and one horrible experience was enough for me to want to return home. I had all of the beach I needed for a lifetime. Hello, friends. My name's John. Today I'm going to tell you about a horrible incident that happened with my friend Lucas when he was almost 29 years old. Lucas told me this story, and I'm sharing it with you guys. Lucas had a wife named Lily, and his son was named Benjamin. His mother Daisy lived alone somewhere, and his father David, unfortunately, had perished. But his father had a lot of land near a great and beautiful beach. His father also was a very good businessman. He had his own grocery store and food shops there. But after some time, his business started ruining. The land now was still vacant. A few years ago, his father committed suicide. Until now, the secret of his death is not known. One day, Lucas came to me. I had never gone to see the condition of our shop, but today I'm going to go. But Lily's not happy about it. Yeah, it's good to start your father's business again, but with your family. Just try to make Lily understand. Actually, one problem is that the place is quite considered a haunted one. But I don't believe all those things. I'm not superstitious. I'll just go there and start my business again like my dad used to. I can't waste it. Haunted, eh? I don't know, man. Maybe you should think about your family. Could be risky. Lily's not coming with me. She'll stay home at her mom's house. She's angry with me, you know. So he started to pack his bags and left for that location near the beach. He went there. The condition of the place was terrible. His shops and houses were combined. His house was on the second floor of the shop. Everything was messed up there. Window glasses were broken. Totally ruined that place was. So he hired two boys for help and appointed them as workers. He settled everything well and started his grocery and food shop. People started to come there from the first day. Lucas was very happy. On the same day, he turned off the lights and went upstairs to his home. The next morning, when he came back to the shop, he saw that everything was messed up. Chairs, tables, food items were not at places. He was shocked. Oh my God, who did this? After some time, workers came again and settled everything. It happened again for 2 to 3 days. Those workers also got fed up and quit the job. Now Lucas was alone to handle his business, but he was trying to hire new workers. So one night, as usual, he turned off the lights of the shop. As he started to move upstairs, he heard the voice moving chairs and tables. Who's there? He turned the lights on. Some tables and chairs were not in place. Hello? Who is this? Then chairs and tables started moving again. He screamed and ran upstairs. He went to his room and closed the door. He then called me and told me everything. He also asked if I could come. I said I'll be there in 2 days. The next day at the shop, a man, a woman, and an 8-year-old son came there to have some juice and food. They looked different, the husband ordered. Okay, sir, wait 20 minutes only. Thank you. He gave them their ordered food, and they started eating. When that family was eating food, all their food was coming out of their stomach, as if it was passing through a pipe. There were holes in their stomach. This was, of course, strange and unsettling. Seeing that, Lucas's eyes were torn and his condition worsened due to fear. He screamed and ran out of the shop. He was disturbed. Then again, new customers came to his shop, so he had to go inside. When he went back in, he said no one was there. He felt like someone vandalized his shop. He got fed up with all these things and complained to the police, but the police did not have any clues. He was sad. The next day I reached there. We were talking. Suddenly, he pointed with his hand. John, see? You see them? No, nothing. There's nothing. You okay, Lucas? Lucas got very scared that day. He didn't understand, even though I explained a lot. He could see the same three people, a woman, a man, and a child, but I couldn't. Then he fainted. I was totally unaware at the time. I understood that there was something wrong with that place, but Lucas was not ready to understand this at all. He said that he will take his business forward. One night, ever since he was working in his restaurant, his health was deteriorating. It was as if someone was casting a spell on him. His health was getting worse by the day. One night, he also had a nightmare. He saw that his wife and children were drowning in the sea, and that no one was there to save them. He shouted so loudly, but no one came to save them, and both of them died there. He was crying, "Help, please." When he opened his eyes, he saw that it was a bad dream, and he got a sigh of relief. So after a few days, it was time for me to go back home. The night before I returned home, I noticed that the lights of his restaurant were turning on and off frequently. It looked like someone was doing it intentionally, but Lucas couldn't believe it either. I called his wife Lily and told her everything. Lily called Lucas, but even on the phone, he was not able to say anything correctly. So quickly the next day, she reached that beach with her son. She was very sad to see Lucas. His condition was terrible. She heard a voice coming from the outside. Someone started knocking on the door loudly. She didn't open the door out of fear. Someone continuously kept banging on the door, but she didn't open. It was Lucas's mother, Daisy, outside.
"Open the door. It's me, your mother."
"No, no, she's lying. It's that ghost. Don't open it."
"No, ghosts don't need any doors. It's your mom out there knocking."
Daisy entered. She hugged Lucas.
"Oh my, why didn't you inform me before coming? I never would have let you come here. John informed me about you."
"Why, Mom? Why is this all happening?"
"This is the result of your father's wrongdoing. That's why I had to leave him."
"What, Mom? What's the matter? What happened here? Tell me."
"Lucas, I'm sorry, but it's true that your father murdered these three people. A man, a woman, and an 8-year-old child. Now their spirits are bothering you."
What my mom proceeded to tell me next blew my mind. She said that I lived at a boarding school with a family. One time, that family came to our house. My dad told my mom that he knew the woman. But one night, my mom caught my dad with that woman. And then she came to learn that that woman was my father's ex-wife. My father even wanted the woman to divorce her husband. My mom was so upset about it. One day when that family hired a boat, my father loosened some screws in the boat. And when that family went out into the ocean, they drowned. No one was there to save them. My father had murdered them. He later told my mom and confessed. She left him to live alone at another place. After some days, the spirits started bothering him. They ruined his business. He lost his self-control. And due to the guilt, committed suicide. Lucas and Lily were both in shock to hear that. Then suddenly, window glasses started to break, chairs and tables were moving here and there. Then spirit, ghosts of three people appeared. Lucas and his family were screaming. They all started preparing to take Lucas with them. Lucas was dragged by that spirit of the woman. She caught him from the hair.
"No, no, no, please, forgive us. Please leave my son. Take me instead."
Then the woman's spirit came to Daisy and slapped her. Daisy fell to the floor, and she held her from the neck. Daisy was in the air now, and she died.
"No, Mom, oh my God."
Lily pointed to her child, Benjamin. She was crying and begging.
"Please, don't do this. Please leave my husband. He hasn't done anything. Those who wronged you have been punished. Please don't do this to my family. Look at him. It's my child. Have mercy on him. What will happen to my child if you take my husband? Please, forgive us. Please, I beg you."
Even those souls were listening very carefully to Lily. Then they disappeared. Lily's request and praying worked. They were safe now. Lucas deeply regretted his father's deeds. Then they left and never returned.